is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Okay, now we're homeschooling, I guess. Can we do this? Looks like we have to do it. Oh, no. Don't worry, there's help, and I'll talk to you about it. So we have certainly had a memorable year. It's been a roller coaster ride, and we're kind of wondering what the future holds. But right now, in the middle of July, everything about school starting is up in the air. President Trump, the American Academy of Pediatrics, psychologists, and some other leaders are pressing the states and localities to reopen America's schools. However, many of the states and of school leaders, even some teachers, and of course there are some parents are divided, but there's considerable people who have been frightened by the on and on fear-mongering of the news media, and they are afraid to send their children to school. And I don't want to rehash that here, because the facts are out there for anybody who wants to look at them. But I will say this. So it's in question, and where I am, it looks like we will not have school opening in our district. So I know that every state's different. In Texas, local areas are divided into what we call independent school districts. This is not true for every state, I realize, but it looks like we are not going to open. And in this case, this is the middle of July, and there's a whole lot of nonsense on the televisions about a high rate of cases, quote unquote, in Texas and Florida. And I could go into some detail how those cases, A, should not even be used if they're they're not deaths, they're not hospitalizations, because those are actually lower than the year before or the year before. Yeah, but their tests, so that's invalid. The tests themselves are invalid, and the counting is, we know, not just a little inflated, but grossly inflated, like 20 times, even if they were reliable tests. So anyway, it's ridiculous. But if you believed the news media, then you might think there was some reason. But anyway, and so that's my understanding. But anyway, some people want to keep the schools closed. It looks like they will. So some parents, I think there are a variety of reactions among parents. I think most parents in this area are both working, and so they're met with some consternation because they hope to go back to work, and they don't know how they're going to supervise their children, let alone be sure they do their studies. Now, during the two-month lockdown that we had, many parents were working from home or not working. And so they thought this was a temporary thing, much more temporary. So, and in some places, people thought it was going to be 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks was extended. I don't think anybody in their right mind would have talked about months and months. But anyway, and now we're going on into next school year. So I think that there are a lot of parents who meet this with bewilderment and consternation. I think there are other parents who are saying, I have really learned a whole lot about what's actually going on and not, and maybe we need to find something other than public school. And so there's some conversation. I see on one of my social media sites that neighborhood is thinking about trying to make a variety of homeschool co-ops. I'm sure that the private schools are being inundated. And so I will tell you from a public school teacher's perspective. Now, she's my friend. I think she's a good person. I think she's a diligent person. I think she's a Christian. And she was complaining in a group that the state allows her to only give 8 hours of work in a week. I believe she teaches upper elementary. So the state allows her to give 8 hours a week. And I can see that that's probably, they think that's what the on-task time is. So they may actually think, and there might be some reason to think, that that's actually how much a child could actually do in a week if they were in school. But from the mother's perspective, she's hearing from mothers who were saying, this is not enough work. You need to give my daughter enough work to keep her involved all day long, every day, 5 days a week. And so the teacher's feeling really put upon because the parents are demanding this. Parents are feeling dismayed because the teachers aren't doing this. I think that now that I know the situation better, I kind of don't understand why the teacher didn't say, I'm not permitted to do this. But anyway, there is certainly a clash. Then from another, so that was fairly early on that the parents didn't feel that the kids were getting very much work. And for the lower elementary, I think it was very, very difficult for everybody at first because they're not used to online delivery. You know, for somebody in college or high school who are used to delivering some online, it's not very much more difficult than to add the lecture online, add some conversation online. So that wasn't so hard at the upper levels, but can you imagine, how do you do this in kindergarten and first grade, you know, the lower levels? And it really was reduced to a few interactions with FaceTime. But you see, this is not the same as school. All right, so the teacher can call the students and, you know, interact with the student, but unless the student has solicitous parents there with them, they're not going to be able to do their homework, and they're going to be at loose ends. But the one kindergarten student I know, of course, has solicitous parents who fill her day with all kinds of stuff, and doing a little more schoolwork is wonderful and not difficult. And she was so happy to hear from her teacher. And then the parents planned some FaceTime. You understand that's on the phone. FaceTime with some other students. And so her life was fine, but so many, like we have at least a third, let's say roughly a third of our children who have only one parent in the home, and that we have a lot of parents who both have to work. And for a month or two, it's very difficult for one or both of them to be home, not working. But I don't think that, and then we have summer, and we won't get into that. But then if this is going to be, so we won't get into that, but if this is going to be for the fall term, you see, that puts everybody really at a loss. So I'm going to say that I think there's also probably a lot of people who discovered what their children were learning and not learning. As we've had discussions about Black Lives Matter and gender studies and lack of history, you know, people not knowing that Lincoln came before the Vietnam War, or that Lincoln freed the slaves. What does that mean? And they think that all whites were slave owners. That's also not true. All the way back to the founders. So the founders, there was controversy about whether or not it was acceptable to own slaves. So, and John Adams thought not. And Jefferson had to agree with his friend, but waited until he was dead to free his slaves. Anyway, there's so much to be said about that. We need to teach history. And of course, I've taught sociology. I think I need to maybe put on a good sociology course online. And let me know if you think that's of interest, something that would cover the material that's required to be covered, but also teach some critical thinking. So let me know your thoughts. But what I want to say is, I really think there's a groundswell of people who are going to be homeschooling. Like, forget this trying to fit in with the public school when they're not doing the childcare portion of it. They're not doing the education well. Now, I do want to say and unmask this. It's not clear to other people who haven't both homeschooled and worked in the public school that there is so much effort required to keep all the kids on the same page and to do the classroom management that there is a lot less of on-task time in school as compared to homeschool. So a typical child on average can do at home in 3 hours easily what they would have done in 8 in school. Oh yes. And many homeschool parents have discovered this. But I have done both homeschooling and then substituted at every level in the public school. And there's just a lot of energy. Be quiet, go down the hall. Okay, now get out your books, put away, wash your hands. Whereas if you have one student or two or three or even five, you are on top of them. They don't have as many distractions. They don't have to waste their time standing in line. And they're going to get down, do their work, and have it done much more quickly. That's in the average. If you have a child who learns in a particular way and you're teaching in that particular way, not only is their time used more efficiently, but they're going to academically shoot ahead. And I think many parents will be appalled at the low level at which their children are learning. They assume that their children are learning at the level that they had in school, but unless you have looked into it, you may not know that that level has been reduced and reduced and reduced and reduced. And people think the opposite. Well, yes, the science courses have new material in them, but the other courses have been generally faded and wan and have a fraction of the material. So you get high school graduates who know less grammar than your average private school first grade, second grade, third grade. Now, they may not know how to apply all of that grammar, but just their songs that they sing in the first grade at some Glasgow schools has so much more grammar than my entering freshman in college. This is just true. And same with the social studies and what they're saying in the news about the social studies being taken over by conflict theory or communism is certainly true. So it's one thing to say, let's have a good foundation and then also understand some critique so we can improve. I'm for that, actually. As opposed to, let's throw out everything that's traditional, let's don't even learn about it, and let's do only this kind of conflict theory so that we stir up resentment, and then you feel good about going out and being ugly, and not even having the skills to learn, let alone to have a conversation, do critical thinking, to fix problems. But so they've simply weaponized students for a cultural revolution a la Mao. This is true to more or less extent depending on the school system you're in. Okay, but this airy-fairy, empty-headed notion that, oh, my child's school is good. Because why? Because they say so. Because the statistics say so. Folks, those are cooked. It's just simply cooked. Even SAT scores have been recentered in a downward position. So because this is true, and this is well documented in lots of literature, like John Taylor Gatto, Dumbing Us Down, Iserbet, and Carl Sommer. There's just so many books about this. But it's been in parents' faces. Up until now, public school was free. You just didn't have to worry. Everybody made the assumption. They assumed, and you know what happens when you assume. They assumed that everything was good in the public school. They sent their kids off. Now that they're not sending their kids off, I think there's going to be some questions, and I think the rate of homeschooling is going to go up. So I want to tell you it's going to be okay. It's going to be better. And you can do it. Yes, you can. There are a lot of support. There's a lot of support. Now, there's several ways to go at this, but let me tell you, it can be done. In 2006, in Lubbock, Texas, 20% of the school-age population in that town were home educated. 20%. So the reason I'm telling you this is to tell you it is quite possible. Now, yes, Lubbock is conservative politically and religiously, and yes, the Lubbock Independent School District, as opposed to some of the school systems around them, is really bad, or was really bad. And so that's why such a high, but it still was done. So you can do it. Now, how am I going to do it? All right, so there are several avenues. One is to set aside some time and to really learn about how to do this. And the particularly if you have home, if you have students who have some learning challenges, absolutely you can do it. In fact, you will be shocked and amazed how much better it will be for your child. You won't have to struggle with a system that he can't deal with, because you will tailor how he learns things and you will have high expectations. So he will not be brought down by the emotional telegraphing of you're stupid and you're not worthwhile, and he will not be struggling with the social system, and he will not be struggling with an educational system that just never was constructed to deliver things to him. And you might be quite surprised that I'm saying, oh no, my kid has special ed. That's what I'm talking about. So that's worth a whole episode. But let me tell you, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, very well established, very reputable group, started by some lawyers who had learning problems, and therefore they were homeschooling them. So what I'm trying to tell you most of all is you can do this. So the first step is to know you can do it. The second step is get my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom, and read the book and make some plans about what kinds of studies your child needs and in what method. And then you will be thoroughly equipped to go out and purchase some curriculum. Do not simply buy, or worse, for free. Take what public school is going to give you for free online, because that's going to be the poorest quality possible. I guess I'm not sure if it's worth the nothing at all. But anyway, it is possible to get online public schooling for free. Don't recommend that. But you can buy lots of curriculum. You can go down to Mardell's store, if you've got one in your town, and look at lots of curriculum and choose it. You can go to a homeschool convention and go check it out. Absolutely ask your friends, but notice your friends' children may not have the same learning issues that you do, your child does. So you can hire a consultant to help you pick out things. You can, and really the children can do a lot. If you're working at home, if you're already at home, it doesn't take a whole lot of supervision, as long as they know, okay, I have 3 hours in this morning and I have to do, you know, these workbooks. If they're not too small, that's probably going to work for you. And then get some more interesting and easier to do projects for the afternoon, things they really enjoy. And join a homeschool club. There will be competitions and social events and sports events and all kinds of things and all kinds of recommendations. They're online. They're in person. They're going. They're ready for you. Then there's also what I'm going to call one-day academies. Well, there's also co-ops. I think this works very well for instance, maybe you can work 40 hours a week all 4 days, and then you have a fifth day off. And if you have five mothers to do that, then you can have their children taught as a group. That's a co-op. That's a homeschool co-op. Parents have to be involved. At every state has their rules, but in Texas, a co-op versus a school has specific criteria. And if it's run for the benefit of your children rather than run for the benefit of making money, it's a co-op. And you can offer a scholarship to one single mother. You know, if you have five mothers who can take a day off and then you have one poor friend, you can offer a scholarship and she can be in the co-op. But then there's also, we have in Austin a business called One Day Academy, but I'm going to submit the idea to you. So it is a business. They have hired people with advanced degrees, like master's degrees in chemistry and physics and calculus or whatever, math, so that they teach these higher level courses, and they can, so you bring your children there and they can take these courses from people who are well equipped to teach them. One Day Academy. It is possible to teach home chemistry out of a book and do your experiments in the kitchen. That is possible, but at a certain point, you might want somebody who knows a lot of chemistry and who can inspire the students. And you might want your students to be with some other students, too. So these are small groups. Even if you are being a little cautious, I think this would work for you. So there are many possibilities. I would love to talk with you about them. I will do consulting. So if you want me to consult with you, go and check out my professional website, orgstrat.net, org for organizational strategies, orgstrat.net, because I consult for educational institutions and certainly have tutored, and you know I used to teach college. So we'll be happy to consult with you if you'd like me to talk to you about your particular issue. And certainly get the book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. You can go to the website, greatshalom.org, and click through, and Lulu, LULU.com, will send you a copy, either electronically or print on demand. And join a homeschool group. Just Google it, search for it online, and you will find them. There's many, many, many. And you will also find some conventions. I will recommend both the Texas Homeschool Coalition, which is run by the Lamberts. Mr. Lambert's a lawyer. And also the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which is a national group. And may there be many more of those. Overall, let me tell you, you can do this. And your children will thrive. You will have fewer fights, fewer worries. Your children will be better socialized, have better etiquette, better manners, better character, because people who care about them will be teaching them. And a teacher may care about them, but she's in a social system and she doesn't have very much time to talk with any one student. And so your student are cooped up with other students also who don't have a whole lot of adult input. And then you can bring your favorite adults to be with your kids. I know I've told you many times how a range safety officer came and gave my daughter a lesson in thermonuclear dynamics when she was in high school, right? Because he was a friend of ours, you know, our family, his family, we went to church together. He knew a lot and he shut off some rockets with my daughter, and I'm sure she learned quite a bit about physics and was had a lot more fun than had I taught her simply out of a book. So your kids will do well. Homeschool children handily outperform other children academically. They tend to be much more socially adept. They can deal with other people at many ages, and certainly more with adults than children in public schools. Yes, you can do this. Will this take time? Yes. Will this take some patience? Yes. But you will be surprised. You will be surprised how much easier it is. You don't, just think of all the things you don't have to do. You don't have to set your work down and get supplies tonight. That was always my gripe. You do not have to run your child to school. That takes time. You do not have to deal with crying children because they're crying because they have to go to school, crying children because they've been to school, crying children because they don't have their pencil because it was stolen. Ask me how I know all of this. And you don't have to listen to stories about being bullied. It will be okay. It will work. You will be amazed. Homeschool rates are going to rise. Yes, and probably a lot of private schools are going to open. And that is going to be a good thing. But for those parents who don't do anything, their child will have lost a year. This is what I'm hearing from the public school. They didn't expect to teach very much this past spring. They expect to review next fall. And so a year of learning will have been lost by plan. So, yes, you can homeschool. Contact me if you want some help. info@greatshalom. Share this broadcast. Share it. Make your comments on the website. This would be fine if you want my personal consulting for pay. You know, you're going to pay me for that. Then go to orgstrat.net. And this is Sharon Sorrell saying that God wants total well-being for all children. And I am an advocate for kids who have learning problems. Amen. You can do it.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.